Kids Edge, Radio Australia, Malloy with you and ready to roll with All About Relationships. We have our expert in, I'll invert the commas as I do every single week, and one day, you know, one day that joke won't get old. You know, it'll be fine. Trust me, it's aging well. It's like fine cheese left at the back of the couch. You know, it really is that good. Oh, mate, it's great to see you. Wayne Brown, the man with his life on track. Are we ready for a big, big show?
Always ready.
Always ready. Now, we joke about it also every week about the notes. This is ridiculous, mate. What you put there with the notes, that's next level.
That's not even the notes for the show, though.
Well, hang on, what is that then? You've lost me there.
That's for an off-air discussion.
Oh, no. Okay, are there any notes for this show?
My invisible ones.
Yeah, okay, fantastic. Well, they're very impressive.
Thanks.
Okay, for those playing at home, can you explain the size of the notes? Okay, come on. It is radio. It's not really a visual thing.
Okay, so if you looked at your thumbnail, it's about a thumbnail and a half wide.
Okay.
And about 2.5 thumbnails tall.
Now, I know this show's about relationships, and I know that you're the expert, but I'm going to go a bit Dr. Phil on you, okay?
Ooh.
Now, I've got to ask you, okay, did your parents, what's your association? What was the issue with the use of paper when you were growing up? Did your mum not let you play with paper?
Now that you've said it, you've just reminded me of something.
Really?
Okay. I used to have a fascination. I used to do my art classes and stuff because I used to draw and paint and do all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
And I had a fascination with drawing stuff that was super small. So I would be holding really tiny stuff and drawing it. So I don't know. I don't know where it comes from. I've just got this fascination with...
Right, okay. You should drive a little Japanese K car or something.
I should.
That'd be cool.
One of those smart for twos.
Oh, please don't. Just don't. Oh, all right. Before I go into a car story, and you know that'll happen, let's get into the show. Now, what is today's subject? What are we onto today?
Well, as usual, most of the time I'm inspired by an interaction, a conversation I might have had recently. And I had one a couple of weeks ago where I mentioned my meetup where I have this coffee and very interesting conversation.
Yep.
And one of the ladies that was in the table I was on, we were having a discussion about, I can't remember what the question was. Okay. Anyway, she started going off on this tangent of about how abusive her ex-partner was.
Mm.
All right. And I know a bit about her because I've spoken to her a number of times.
Sure.
So, you know, you get to know a little bit of people's story. And I could see that she was getting a little bit wound up.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
So I was trying to take her away from it and move to something else. And she seemed pretty intent on sticking with the subject. And then at some point it obviously got too much for her and she fled.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you know, these things can be very stressful to talk about.
I know. So anyway, I took off to try and find her to make sure she was all right. Vanished.
Really?
Like a ninja, just gone. Anyway, the Sunday just gone, we had the next one, and she was there.
Oh, good.
So I was like, oh, I'm glad you're okay. Yeah. I ran to check on you and you'd vanished. And so I was having a chat to her and I was like, you know, I could see you were getting wound up and I wanted to move you away from it, but you seem pretty hell-bent on sticking to the subject. And she gave me a hug and thanked me for caring, which was nice.
You are a caring guy.
I try.
I've noticed.
And what I wanted to talk about tonight was two sides of a coin.
Okay.
All right. We have our moments, our subject matter, and you and I certainly do this off air, where we want to vent.
Oh, no doubt.
You know, there's certain things that wind you up and you want to get it out.
Yep.
And then there's when you're on the receiving end of a vent.
Yeah.
All right. And sometimes it's nice to let people blow off a bit of steam.
Of course.
After a while, though, if they're going on and on and on and you can't move on to another subject, it tends to be a little bit difficult.
Agreed.
So I thought I'd go through some tools, some steps that you can use to keep control of that and still allow them to vent, but then you can move it away when you want.
This is a great subject because, like, look, I'm a venter, okay, honestly.
Oh, everyone has one.
Jeez. Yeah, suddenly I feel like a turbo with a blow-off valve. I'm just, you know, just going.
You can almost hear the...
I'm so glad you did the sound effects. But it is a great thing, but when you sometimes you're venting, you've got to also take into account the person you're venting to,
right?
Absolutely. And their feelings, because sometimes it could be hurtful to them, right? Maybe you've gone too far, or there's just some sort of rules of engagement, I guess.
Well, you hit the nail on the head there. you've got to make sure that the vent is doing what it's intended to do, which is like a pressure cooker. You're trying to let off a bit of steam, and then you can get on with it. So we'll look at the rules of venting. Okay. I almost feel like I should write a book called that, Rules of Venting.
You should reinvent one.
God.
I'm here till Thursday. Try the VO.
Far out.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, shall we continue?
Please.
Okay. So a lot of the times when we want to vent, there are things that – there's a number of things involved.
Okay.
They're usually something that we're very emotionally involved with.
Of course.
So could be an ex-partner, could be whatever. Mm. But they're usually things that have a lot of emotion tied into it.
A lot of intensity to them.
Yeah, so we tend to get very wound up when we need to vent. And the other thing as well is we tend to vent because we're still trying to make sense of something.
Okay.
All right, so we might be trying to make what would you call it? Like brainstorming it.
Sure.
You know, you're trying to throw all the information out. And a lot of the times, if the information's in your head, it's not until you throw it out and actually say it that you go, oh, okay, now it makes sense.
Well, much like when people write things down, you know? Like
yeah, exactly. Say, yeah. Yeah, the moment you get it out of your head, it's amazing how much easier it is to understand. So if you feel the need to vent, be aware of, A, you're going to be pretty charged when you're venting.
No doubt about it.
And B, it'll be about something that you either, A, need answers on or you feel you have little control over.
Okay.
All right. So for us, we tend to have that venting because of that sense of we don't have a huge amount of control because of the situations that we're currently in with our government. I'll use that word very loosely. So we feel there's not a lot we can do. However, we do, you know, there's numbers. So if we get more people involved, then we're all right. But that, it's the how do you get them involved?
Exactly.
How do you get them to do something? So that's the venting. We're frustrated, we're disappointed, all of that stuff, and we want to get that locus of control back to ourselves.
Agreed.
So when you're going to vent, you need to remember that, A, it's your crap that you're just struggling with.
Yes.
All right.
Very true.
And this is what everyone needs to bear in mind. All right. If you can, there is nothing inherently wrong with venting. How you do it is very important. So, A, you've got to remember that it's your stuff. B, while you're venting, don't direct it at the other person.
This is a hard thing, in my opinion. Okay. I get this wrong. I know I get this wrong. Because when I'm venting, I, you know, go off and you know, the pressure cooker is popped, right? And no, I don't, because it's not like I become aggressive or anything like that, but like basically I'm releasing that pressure. And you can't just like put your hand on the top of the pressure cooker, okay? You're going to get burnt. So it becomes very hard for the person that I'm venting to understand, oh, this is not about you. This is just my, you know, releasing mechanism, if you like.
Okay. So nice question, sort
of. It is kind of a question.
So you're absolutely right. When you're venting, it is very easy to forget that you're not taking it out on that person.
Yeah.
They just happen to be the recipient of your verbiage. So you have to remember that when you're making statements, I'm feeling frustrated. Yeah. I don't feel I can make sense of this. And you got to, if you try and use I statements, it reminds the other person that it's your stuff and it's nothing to do with them.
I think that's important.
Yeah. And, oh, I thought of something. I love it when thoughts just fly through like that. So when you're doing it and you're using the I statement, oh, that's what I was going to say. Any skill that you're trying to learn, master, make sense of, when you first use it, it's going to be clunky.
Yeah, of course.
All right. So all of these bits of information I'm giving regarding venting and receiving a venting from someone, it's all about, you might stuff it up at first, but be gentle with yourself. Yep. Let them know that you're trying to just get this better at it.
Work in progress, right?
We all are.
Yeah, and you've got to find out the things that work for you. Really do.
Exactly. Mm. And actually, that's a nice point. All of the information that I give on my show, in my coaching, etc., is all stuff that I've found that works for me.
Yep.
And I've read lots of different tools. And some of them were just like,
No.
So my stuff may fit the people that are listening,
yep.
and it might not. And I'm not going to be upset if someone decides not to use it because it's just what works for them.
That's right. That's
all right.
Yep.
So these are just things that I've found that work for me. So when I'm venting, I make sure that the other person doesn't receive that energy. They can tell I'm wound up, but I'm not directing it at them.
Sure. All right. Can you give me some sort of tools to ensure I do that?
Practice.
Just simple.
Practice.
Okay, right. Okay, I'll try that three times then. There we go.
That's always the big one is practice. Because when you first... we're going to deviate slightly in our learning here. Mm. Do you know the four levels of learning?
I used to. I've already forgotten them. I kind of learned them too good.
Okay, so the first one is called unconscious incompetence.
Oh.
It means you don't know that you don't know.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All right.
Mm. I call them leftists. Yeah.
Then the next one is what you call conscious incompetence. You now know that you don't know.
Okay, Labour voters. Got it. Okay, next one. Yep, yep.
You're taking this on a path I'm not planning.
I'll stop it, I promise.
Okay, so once you're aware that you don't know something, it's cool, I've got to learn this one.
Yep.
Then the next one is you're aiming for conscious competence.
Okay, this is not what I thought you were going on this. Okay.
So you get to the point where you're practicing it, and you're like, I'm getting the hang of this.
Gotcha.
And then ultimately what you're aiming for is what they call unconscious competence.
Right.
Which means you don't have to think about doing it.
Sure.
So if you think about when you first started to drive a car, you were all, the clutch brake, the gears. And it was all overwhelming because, you know, you got to check mirrors and all this sort of stuff.
Well, for you maybe, but...
for ordinary mortals. And nowadays you don't think about any of it.
Absolutely.
It's just completely unconscious.
Sure.
And that's what you're aiming for with venting and receiving a venting from someone.
Okay.
So when you're doing it, you'll find yourself getting wound up and you'll go, oh, hang on, I've got to pull this back because it's not about them. So it's becoming aware, practicing, and then eventually you'll get to a point where you'll just do it without thinking.
Okay. Now, something really strange is coming out of this for me, right? When I was at school, I found my teacher, one particular teacher in primary school told me, Aaron, you say I too often. Okay, so in my writing, she would say, in my writing, I would be always in first person. Well, and I thought, well, that's kind of how I talk. Like, I mean, she would, you know, I'm speaking from my point of view, so therefore that's how I do it.
Exactly.
Right? I'm talking about when I was literally a primary school student, like, you know, under year five. And it's funny how, like, little things like that stick in your mind. So for the rest of my life, I've actually been trying to go, oh, can't do that. And as silly as it sounds, when we're having this conversation now, I think about how often that if I've needed to vent, I deliberately make sure that I'm not, like, not, I'm certainly owning it, definitely owning it, but I'm not using the term I this and I that.
Yeah, well, so you're going to have to break that habit.
Yeah.
Because if you're writing a story and it's always in the third person.
Yep.
It's going to sound like you've got issues.
Exactly.
Oh, yes, and then Aaron went to the zoo and he checked out the lions. It's just like, what?
So what you're telling me is I had a lousy teacher. Got it. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, throw that information out.
Just because they're a teacher doesn't mean they're right.
That's true.
So if you keep it in I statements, you remember that it's your stuff, so you keep the energy to you.
Sure.
So they're aware that you're wound up.
Yep.
You know, and that's all right, as long as they're not the recipient of it.
Okay.
Unless, of course, they contribute to it, in which case it's another story again. So those things are very important to remember.
All right.
Now, the other things as well to remember when you're doing this is you have to think about the words you're using.
Okay.
All right? Because one thing I've learnt is the power of your words is very important.
Of course it is.
Okay? I was out a couple of weeks ago with some clients and we went for dinner.
Yep.
And one of them brought their partner and she kept applying labels to herself. And we're like, hang on, no, stop. You're you first.
Yep.
And then you choose your labels. It's not the labels that's someone else has given you. So those power of those words has a huge impact. Mm-hmm. So if you're trying to explain to someone what you're wound up about, try to find the best words to describe it.
I agree. I think so many people are so obsessed with labels these days. They really are. It's like everybody's got to be put in a box or got to carry on.
Yep.
No, you're an individual, okay?
Yeah, and also when you're venting, if you're giving people labels, it's just your perception. Look at that. We slipped one in the week after.
You're not messing around there, are you, bud?
I'm coming all in. So you have to be aware of the labels you're putting on people, the labels you're putting on yourself, and the way you describe things. The more accurately you can describe them during your vent, the easier it will be for you to recognise answers.
I like that. I like that a lot. Guess what? We're going to do a bit of a break.
Wow, that came around quick, it does.
It does. Now, for those playing at home, you might be aware that it's the Easter weekend, of course.
It is.
When, for those who are lucky enough to have a few days off, enjoy it, spend it with the people that you love. Now, Easter means different things to different people. So I'm going to go, and I'm going to split the show, okay, a little bit, right?
Okay.
I'm going to first bit, okay, for the traditional what Easter is about, obviously, and Jesus Christ and the religious side of things. So we'll do that. And then after that, we might change. But we'll see. We'll sort of see how the show goes. So I just thought I'm going to start this with a real, you know, G-me-up kind of Jesus song, as far as I'm concerned. It's the Doobie Brothers. Jesus, he's just all right. It's Edge Radio Australia. He's more than all right, apparently. He's got special powers. Special guy. Love Resurrection there. Alison Moyet. It could be Moyet if you have no culture. Who knows? Hey, absolutely amazing singer. We've just talked in the break. Of course, it's all about relationships here on Edge Radio Australia. And look, I know you love your music, mate, and you've got some opinions about that lady's voice.
Oh, always loved her voice.
What a voice. What a great voice.
From the moment I heard their first album, Yazoo, her and Vince.
Oh, how do you remember these things? It's great effort. Okay.
Yeah, he went on to form Erasure as well.
Oh,
so,
yeah. Go on.
There you go. So the moment I first heard their first song, which was Only You, I just went, that is a great voice.
That's a winner. See, I'm feeling clever, okay? I've just gone, okay, it's Easter, and we're doing a show about relationships. It's Love Resurrection. I just feel clever, okay?
You know, that's nice.
It's one of my highlights of my life.
Blending the best of two worlds.
That's right. Okay, let's get back into relationships though, mate.
All right.
All right. Now, where are you taking us down the yellow brick road?
Okay, so we've looked a little bit of our venting and doing it in a more productive way.
Okay.
All right. Mm-hmm. We'll look at it from the other side. So you're now receiving a venting from someone.
Right. Okay.
All right.
The ventee.
Yeah, you're the ventee, not the venter. So what's the – okay, here's a question for you. When someone's talking
– yep.
Especially if they have challenges, what's the most important thing to them?
I would think being hurt.
Ah.
Oh, dear.
Being hurt.
Do I get a score for that? I
mean, I'll give you half a point. No one wants to be hurt. I mean, well, unless you're into that sort of thing.
No, I said heard.
Oh, heard.
Heard. Oh, just sorry. Slightly different.
Okay, in that case, you get a full point.
Okay,
yes,
thank you.
Heard.
Okay, cheers.
They want to be heard. I said heard.
No.
So that's a totally different show again.
That's on next week's show.
Oh, I'm tuning into that one. And you're right. You're absolutely right. If people feel that they're heard, they automatically drop their energy levels.
Gotcha.
Because they realise they don't need to be that intense because they're going to get heard.
Yep.
They don't need to try and force it across.
Look, my mum used to say the old chestnut of a problem shared is a problem halved, right?
Absolutely.
Okay? And I think it's a winner. I really do. I think if you've got these things, they're all pent up. If you share them with somebody, vent in a nice, productive way.
Absolutely.
Without tearing them down, I think it's a winner.
Absolutely. So when someone is venting to you, the first thing you need to do is let them know that they are heard.
Okay.
And you do that by parroting back to them, or what they call active listening.
Okay.
So let's say you're talking about, I don't know, you've been pulled over by the police for speeding.
Again?
And you're like, oh, they're just revenue raising.
Yeah.
And I say, yes, so you're pulled over these cops and they're just revenue raising for you. And you go, yeah. And so I'm
– clever.
Yeah. But what it's doing, it's – okay, so there's a thing called rapport.
Yes.
All right? Mm-hmm. So if we like someone, we tend to like them because they're like us. They've got similar goals, values, sense of humour, etc. So we tend to like them more because they're like us. And we all believe that we're awesome.
Yep.
So therefore, anyone like us must also be awesome.
Fig jam, baby.
Damn straight.
Yep.
So the first thing you do is let them know that you're like them.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just revenue raising, whatever, yeah. Blah, 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 blah.
Common ground.
And what you do, it's called pace, pace, lead.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
So when I say that back to you, what you've said, I'm pacing you. Yeah, you know, okay. I'm keeping up with you. So you say a bit more and I do it again and I do it again. And then I lead, which means I then try and take you somewhere. And if you follow, we've got rapport.
Got it. Okay. I like that.
Yeah. And the worst thing you can do with someone is venting, and there's people that have done this. Never, ever, ever tell someone to calm down. No one in the history of anything has ever calmed down when they've been told to calm down.
I think we've all done it.
Okay? Yeah, I know.
We've all done it. And I think there's particular people in your life, like I had someone in my life who used to tell me to calm down. And, you know, like your legs could be on fire and she'd just go, oh, calm down, you're making such a big thing about it. No, I'm on freaking fire here. Come on. It just feels so like – it just feels like a Greek man going down an escalator. It's just so condescending. I can't stand it.
Exactly. And there's two reasons for that. One is they don't have the skills to be able to deal with you normally.
Yeah, yeah.
So straight away just negate you. And it ties into one of the best ways to control people is with guilt and shame.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right? So if they can shame you into, you know, you shouldn't be talking this loudly, you feel bad about it.
Of course.
Now, instead of you venting about something that you felt bad about, you've now got something else to feel bad about.
Sure.
So when they're venting, the first thing you do, like I said, active listening, you make sure that they feel that they're heard. Mm-hmm. That automatically drops their energy.
Yep.
You also then, you pace them. So you give them a certain amount of time to vent.
Okay.
All right. Now, for myself, I don't mind people that vent for a while.
All right.
You know, you can put up with it for
different
a while.
Different people, different patients, right?
Yeah, but I have certain rules that I sort of follow.
Okay.
And a friend of mine, she does this wonderfully. She catches up with friends and they each have literally 5 minutes to vent.
Hang on, is this back to that stick thing that you had
before? No. This is just a straight, blah, 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 blah. Because she can't stand people that just go on and on and on and on and on.
Your friendship's more of a game show, mate.
Oh, it's hilarious. This lady's sense of humour is wicked. I love hanging out with her.
Awesome.
So she literally says to him, you've got 5 minutes. So you could be mid-sentence, and if your 5 minutes is up, you're done.
Oh, does she put the timer on? And
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I love it. That's a winner.
That's why I love it. It's just like, great. You can imagine all the friends trying to get it out as frantically as possible.
How do I get to the bonus round? Come on.
And in a way, that's what you've got to do, all right?
Okay.
Because if you are venting, all right, like I said, you're trying to find answers, you're trying to make sense of things, you're trying to get some sort of sense of control back. If you don't get some sort of resolution at some point, you're just going to be stuck in this loop of going around and around and around, endlessly venting.
Yep. We all want that resolution, don't we? You know, that's why people like chase closure afterwards. And everybody likes the full stop.
So what I like to do, and I don't have many people vent to me.
Really?
If they do, and I sort of get to a point where I'm like, yeah, I've had enough of this, I'll ask them, so what are you going to do? And that's good. I mean,
it's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, you
like people don't do it.
Get it out.
Yeah,
sure,
yeah, yeah.
Get it all out.
All right.
But don't just dump it all on me. Mm. Say to me, yeah, I've got this problem. This is what I'm going to do.
Right. Oh, I thoroughly agree.
Because that's the whole idea of venting. You're getting all of that information out of your head, out in a verbal or written form, whatever way you want to use.
Yep.
And then you're looking for the bits of information that can give you an answer so that you can make sense of it and get control back.
Okay. Now, I'm going to go battle of the sexes here.
Go on.
Here we go. I did say sexist, not sexist, just so you know. I may have thrown an extra syllable in there. Okay. Right. This is, to my mind, the fundamental difference between men and women when it comes to this sort of thing, okay, is men, we want to fix things, okay? We want a resolution. We want to finish things.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas women, in a lot of cases, and I'm generalizing, I know, but they just want to vent and they just want to be heard and they don't actually want you to do that. And it's so hard, from my point of view, as someone who is absolutely designed to solve problems, right? That's what I get up in the morning to do, right? So, fix me. Come on. Come on. What do we do, Wayne? Like, honestly.
Okay. So, you're right. As a generalization, that is true. And that's because of social conditioning.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Girls tend to be raised as girls.
Yes.
and boys tend to be raised as boys, as in girls are given dolls to play with, boys are given cars to play with.
Sure.
And it can be the other way around.
Of course it can. Yep.
And because girls have been conditioned that way, they're given like tea sets to sit down and talk and practice conversation with. So they get used to just throwing information backwards and forwards.
And I'm telling you right now, okay, I get that. I thoroughly agree. But, you know, you could get the biggest, toughest, meanest looking fella that, you know, like has, you know, bikey tattoos. You know, tattoos before you were a barista, right? Okay. That you sit down and he would sit down and he would drink tea in that little tea set, right? Like, okay, there's that softness that when a child, okay, is doing that sort of thing. So it kind of transcends all the social norms, right? So I don't know. I mean,
no, I've seen many blokes, when they get past our social conditioning of suck it up, build a bridge, get over it, push it down, suppress all your anger, your frustration, your disappointment, just push it all down.
Sure, I just called it childhood, but okay. I'm teasing. Go on.
So we get so conditioned at that. That if you remove that, you'd be amazed how well blokes can speak about how they feel.
No doubt about it.
I've witnessed it so many times.
And it's something we're seeing a big change in society, right?
Yeah, on that front. And so it should.
Absolutely.
Because if men are able to talk about how they feel, and that starts with venting, because first of all, you've got to get used to feeling.
Yep.
And venting, you tend to feel your anger come out, because it's usually anger that comes out.
Sure.
And once you can start to discern, okay, what part of anger am I feeling? Am I frustrated? Am I disappointed? Am I enraged? Am I? Once you can start to do that.
Yeah, which variation is it?
Yeah. So disappointment, we'll go with disappointment and frustration because they're two fairly different animals. So the reasoning and the thought process behind frustration is going to be different to disappointment.
Okay.
Okay, so disappointment is usually comes from you putting your expectations onto someone else and they don't meet your expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't need to because they're your expectations.
Gotcha.
So you're disappointed. Frustrated is when you're trying to get someone to follow your expectations and they don't. So one, you're in control because you're pushing them, and the other one is they've let you down.
Okay.
And so it's once you can go, okay, I'm angry, what part of angry am I? Oh, okay, I'm frustrated. Oh, okay, so I'm putting my expectations on them. Okay, cool. And while you're venting, you're finding all of this out.
Sure.
Then you can explore all of that. So the more a bloke does that, the more adept he's going to become at doing it.
Sure.
Practice, 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 absolutely, remember? And, in fact, if you go back through all of my coaching videos and everything, that's the one phrase I say more than anything. Practice, practice, practice. Only because I know it absolutely applied to me in my journey.
Yeah. Absolutely. You don't get it right the first time. You just got to have your little recce. You've got to have your practice. You've got to do it.
Exactly. So the more you practice doing it, the more adept you get at it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once you vent effectively.
Sure.
And you find out that information, you get your answers.
Yep.
And you get that locus of control back, the next time you vent, you don't need to do it as aggressively because you know what the process is.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Yeah,
I'm with you.
And these are the sorts of things where if everyone could master these, we'd all vent for like 2 minutes and then go, right, this is what I'm going to do.
Gotcha.
And it would be so much more empowering rather than just an hour of, you know, verbal diarrhea.
Yeah.
And we've all had those people. They just go on and on and on and on. And it's like, that's what I was saying.
Look, I'm right here. Stop talking about it. Okay, cool. I'm just got feelings.
And that's why I have that phrase of what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Because I want to empower them. I don't want them to be always whinging and moaning. It's like, okay, well, what are you going to do?
And you know what? In the nicest possible way, it is your responsibility to fix your own stuff.
Absolutely.
Right? Not somebody else. Everybody has this, not everybody, so many people think that someone's going to come in and fix it for them.
Mm.
Somebody can come in and give them the tools. Okay, you know, in this situation, you're absolutely giving people the tools for their relationships, right? But if you don't use them, right, then that falls on you, right?
Absolutely.
It's your responsibility to make magic happen.
Yeah, and I've said that many times where the greatest tool in the world's useless if you don't use it.
Well, okay. I just felt like I wanted to make a joke about the most useless tool in the world. But
again, there's quite a few of them.
There's quite a list on that one.
Unfortunately, most of them are receiving a parliamentary. So. The idea of venting is we need to take the edge off our frustration, our disappointment, whatever it is, get the answers and get empowered. So ultimately, that's all we're after when it comes to venting. So when someone's doing it, sure, let them vent.
Sure.
If you can empower them to more effectively vent, like if they start sort of getting too wound up and they're starting to point at you and all that sort of thing, remind them, hey, this isn't about me.
Yep. That's important.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people will avoid that conflict. As the ventee, they might not actually put their hand up and say, woo. Yeah. I think that's really important. I think we've got to push that.
That all comes back to your boundaries and everything like that. And if you care about someone, you allow them a vent.
Yeah, damn straight. Yeah, no doubt about it.
You know, but you also want them to get their best result. You want them to be empowered. You want them to be a better version of themselves. And you do that. And actually, here's one for you. Mm-hmm. When do you give advice?
And we'll find out after this break.
Cliffhanger.
Absolutely. All right, the second half of our Easter special, we're going to call it the Easter special because why not, is we've done the religious side, so we're going to do the commercial side. It's all the way. We're going all sweet like chocolate, mate. That's where we're going. It's all about the chockies. It's Edge Radio Australia, all about relationships. Oh, we love our chocolate, don't we? We do.
Thank you,
Chef. Really appreciate that. Fantastic.
Here's a talented group of youngsters that call themselves Rancid.
Okay. Nice. Very salty, very nice. Delicious, in fact. I think we should get back straight into the show, mate. Let's just not delay. It's all about relationships here. We've gone from the sublime to the ridiculous. Let's talk more about, because we left on a rather a cliffhanger before the break. Let's go with it.
We did?
No. I'm building it up. Come on, you're supposed to fill it.
We talk about so much stuff during the break. We lose it.
Mm, absolutely brilliant, mate. All right, where are we going on this next little segment?
Okay, so I suppose where we can go by extension is one of the things with venting, and we've touched on this before, what you were saying with the whiffle stick and things like that, is when people really need to vent, if you're the person involved.
Sure.
That's a very different animal to just letting, you know, you've got a mate who's having problems with a partner.
Yeah.
That's a different thing.
Okay.
When it's the actual person that, you know, in front of you that they're upset from something you've done.
Oh, get a lawyer.
Yeah, pretty much. No, it's just, again, it's those having those rules, those boundaries, sure, those understandings. So the first thing you've got to do if they want to vent, you have to let them know that. Okay, I'm willing to listen.
Okay.
However, there are a few little rules.
I'm so glad you said this because I was just going to throw forward. It comes back to what we were talking about a couple of weeks ago, really, boundaries. Boundaries is so important, okay?
Yeah.
And people keep stepping all over them. So this is set those ground rules, right?
And I'll start this off with a story, and I've used this story so many times only because it beautifully illustrates this. I may have used it online before or on air before. I'll use it again because it is such a good story.
Let's do it.
This couple, been dating for a while, decide to move in together.
Yep.
First night in, they have a big argument. Mm. She's screaming at this bloke. Mm. And he suddenly turns around, walks off into the bedroom.
Right.
Now, as anyone who's been venting at someone knows, when someone turns their back and walks away, don't just stand there. You get after them. You keep that thing going.
All fired up.
And so she steams off into the bedroom.
Right.
And he's put a suitcase on the bed and he's putting his clothes in it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, what are you doing? And he says, when you can talk to me like an adult, then I'm moving back in. And she never did it again.
Right. Did he actually move out?
No.
Okay. There we go.
But it was enough for her to go, oh, that's your boundary.
Yeah. We found it.
That's the thing. If you don't define boundaries in any interaction, like in a relationship, in conflict or anything, if you don't define the boundaries, you can't blame them for crossing them.
So true. And like, particularly, it's good to get it done early, right?
Exactly. Mm. So, first of all, you want them to be heard.
Yep.
All right? Because they're your partner.
Of course.
So, you say, look, I'm happy to listen to what you've got to say because I want to resolve this just as badly as you.
Okay.
These are my boundaries. One, no yelling and screaming at me.
Sure.
I'm going to understand that your energy is going to go up.
Yep.
That's okay. But if you're going to yell and scream, not good. Also, I want you to use I statements. I know they're things that I've done. It's your stuff, though.
Sure.
All right? So can you please use I statements? If at any point this gets too much for me or too much for you,
right,
and we need to take a break, use a safe word.
Okay. Tap out.
Exactly. Now, the important thing with safe words is you can say, I need a break, and that's fine. You need to let them know when it's going to restart.
Okay.
Because you can't say, I need a break, and then a year later they're still waiting. No, that's not respectful.
Okay. Well, so you like got to say half an hour tomorrow.
I need a half hour. I'm going to go for a walk. I mean, I've done it with my wife. I had something where it wasn't to do with her. She said something that triggered it.
Gotcha.
All right? Yep. So it was stuff that happened ages ago. She triggered it, and I went, yeah, I need to go and deal with this. So I just grabbed my keys and phone walked.
Yeah, okay.
And like 2 hours later, she phoned him up and said, are you coming home at some point? And I said, yeah, I'm nearly done. And I was just sitting somewhere, just going through everything in my head, making sense
breathing.
Of it. Because I knew it wasn't her stuff.
Got you.
She just happened to trigger it. And if I'd unloaded on her, that wouldn't have been fair for
her. How clear were you to her about that? Like, you know, that it wasn't her. It was
at the start, not at all.
Okay, gotcha.
I just grabbed my phone. I literally walked.
Right.
Didn't say anything to her.
Yep.
And she was just like, okay. And she knew I would have had a really good reason. I wouldn't have just walked off for no reason. So that's why she phoned me after a couple
Wouldn't it be better
to
literally say, I need some time to think?
I should have done.
You should have? Okay.
But I knew that if I started speaking, it might come out. And it was one of those lesser of two evils.
Oh, look. Yeah, I get it. Yeah. Now I'm giving the advice. This is frightening stuff.
No,
dangerous,
isn't it?
Dangerous. That's what it is.
And this is also the thing I've mentioned before. I don't want people to think I've got a perfect relationship.
No one has one.
It's friggin' awesome.
Yeah.
We still have our glitches. You know, I still make mistakes. And, yeah, absolutely, I should have said something to her.
But you're human.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I just knew in that moment my head was going to explode.
Sure.
And I didn't want her to get any of that.
Fair enough.
Because it wasn't hers.
Oh, stain the carpet, it's a mess. It's just terrible to clean up.
So, yeah, when I came back, spoke to her all about it and explained it, and she was like, oh, okay, cool. So then, you know, she knew what had happened. Anyway, so you need to set your boundaries.
Agreed.
So safe word, if I say this or if you say it, we take a break and we dictate when we're coming back. So I need 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever, and then you come back and you start again.
Okay.
Now, you might need to do this a number of times when you're first practicing that.
Of course.
And that's okay because you're getting better at it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the good thing is the more you do it where you're listening to them, the more they feel heard. So next time they need to go vent, guess what? The energy levels are down.
Yeah.
And eventually it gets to the point where they go, yeah, I'm pretty pissed at the moment. I've got something I need to sort out with you. Okay, cool. Okay. Let's do it. And they know the rules. They know the boundaries.
Yep.
And then it's all very calm and respectful. And the energy's still there.
Sure.
Because, you know, you're upset,
you're pent up.
You know, whatever it is. It's not that pressure cooker level, though.
Mm.
And that's the important bit.
I want to throw a curveball here.
Go for it.
Just a quick one. What if that other person is not respecting your boundaries? So what do you do then?
Walk into the bedroom, put your suitcase on the bed. No, sometimes it's that.
Okay.
Yeah,
simple as that. You got to make the big call.
I'm willing to do whatever it needs.
Sure.
Like I've said to my wife when I first started dating her,
yep,
if we have one argument like I did with my second wife, just one, I'm done.
There you go.
Because I do not want to go back to that shit.
It's had that bigger effect on your life.
Absolutely. Yeah. It drained me much, caused that much damage to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go back there.
Fair
Thankfully,
cool.
My wife's pretty well got her shit together. I don't think I've ever heard her yell.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, challenge accepted.
I know. No, she is one of the most level-headed, grounded people. I mean, she'll still get upset.
Of course.
But yelling? Mm. I mean, my voice at the moment is louder than anything she's ever done. So she's a wonderful conduit for me.
Gotcha.
Because if I start to get too wound up, she's like, you know, can you just bring it down.
But you've got to, like, this is a great thing about relationships. It's not about someone finding someone who's exactly like you. It's about someone who, you know, who's the complements of you, you know, of, you know, your yin and yang kind of situation. You know, the things that you might not be great at, they're
absolutely
great at. And that way it brings the best out of both of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, as individuals.
And there's so many things where we're complementary, and that's what makes it just a great relationship. So,
oh, look at you showing off. I've got a great relationship. Yeah.
Well, it's funny because this is how I explain it to my clients.
Right.
You know when you're – it's almost tempted not to say this. You know when you're in a boat and you're looking out at the horizon?
Yes.
Do you know where I'm going with this all
No,
of a sudden?
I don't. No. I'm having a moment of private
laugh. I was just thinking the flurfers. That's what I was thinking of. So – when you've got a ship, you can see it on the horizon. Yep. Anything on the other side, you can't see it.
Sure.
So I keep saying to my clients, I'm on that ship on the horizon. When you get to me, you'll go, got it now.
Yeah.
But I'll be further around again. So, yeah, it's the really nice thing.
It is, mate. And you know what? You've worked hard for it. You've done the hard yards. Mm. You've done this thing of self-improvement, okay? And so many people are always looking for self-improvement. But and I'm certainly not trying to be critical, but ultimately you have to make the changes. You can't just read books.
Absolutely.
You can't just, you know, wait for
practice,
somebody to
practice, switch. Practice.
Yeah. Make the changes, though. There's a conscious decision to change the way that you are or the way that you react or whatever. So
absolutely.
I would very much encourage you to do that. All right, mate. If I'm looking at the internet, where can I find you?
Type Wayne Brown All About Relationships into your browser and my show will pop up on various platforms. Wayne Brown Life Back on Track website, etc. And also, I'm currently contemplating creating a course especially for Edge listeners.
Ooh, I like that. I tell you what. Oh, it's just like so smooth. It's almost like hot chocolate, mate. I tell you what. It's so sexy. Oh. It's Edge Radio Australia, all about relationships.